Hi there, boys and girls. Welcome to the Children's Bible Club. We're glad you've joined the Bible Clubbers today, and we hope that you'll have your Bible ready, that you'll have a pencil and paper handy. Maybe you'll have time to even call a neighbor or a friend to come listen with you, and that you'll have a good time with us on the broadcast today. We want you to know Jesus as your Savior. And now, here's the Bible Club choir to start the program under the direction of Mr. Howard Woods. Thank you, choir, for that good message about the Word of God. You know, to a Christian boy and girl, the Word of God is your most precious possession. We can live without a lot of things, but we cannot live without the Word of God. And you know, I got something for Bible Clubbers to think about today. Did you ever think about girdles and gooseberries? Not the kind most folks think of when you say girdles and gooseberries, but a special kind that the Lord made. And did you know they live in the Mediterranean Sea and in some other warm waters? The first one is a peculiar little slender fish called the Venus girdle. It looks like a ribbon of light as it glows in the water. And then there's another little fish, which really isn't a fish. It's called the sea gooseberry, and it is about the size of a sparrow's egg. At night, it shines brightly, but in the daytime, it's a lovely mass of beautiful colors, like the colors in the rainbow. And Bible Clubbers, just like those little lights God made to be in the water, you, my Bible Club friends, can shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you won't shine for him just exactly like everybody else does, because you're not like anyone else. God made every child an individual. There's no one else just like you. So each young Christian must be a light for the Lord in just the way God made you to be. The important thing is to stay close to him and get daily cleansing and directions from his word every day, so that he can lead and use you and make you a blessing and a witness for him. You be thinking and praying about that this week, won't you? And listen to the choir's next song. That's a good song straight from the scripture. Psalms 89:1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And that's the key, boys and girls, to a singing testimony for the Lord is prayer and praise and the word of God every day. All Capernaum was in a stir. Listen, there were people everywhere. Shopkeepers closed their shops and locked the doors, and down the street they flew. Mothers just got by with the least cooking they could do and just cleaned the houses as fast as they could, and down the streets they flew. Children by the boo-koodles, everybody it looked like were on the streets. What was going on? Well, you could guess it. The Lord Jesus Christ had come to town. And he did so many wonderful and mighty things till nobody wanted to miss out on one minute of it. And then the word got around that Jesus was in a certain house. Well, you can imagine it was just like a whole flock going around that place. Until Jesus was in the house, yes, but the house was packed with people. You couldn't even get close to the door, let alone getting in. And Jesus was in there preaching the word. Oh, that's the thing that helps folks, isn't it? To preach the word of God. Don't just give people what you think about a good way to go to heaven would be. Give them God's way to heaven, as it's told to us in the word of God, the Bible. And so as Jesus preached, people flocked and pushed and shoved at the door. But there were a certain group of men that wanted in, and they couldn't figure out how they were going to get there. You know, they had a friend, a man that was sick of the palsy. Why, he was so ill that he couldn't even go down the street on his own strength. And he did so badly want to see Jesus. If he could get to Jesus, Jesus could fix him up. He knew that. But there wasn't any use to try. Why, he couldn't get there on his own power. He couldn't walk, and if he could get there, the crowd would be so great there wouldn't be any hope of ever seeing Jesus. And then a wonderful thing happened. Four of his buddies came in. And do you know what they did? They fixed up a bed, I suppose something like a stretcher, and they put that man on it, and they said, "Come on, buddy. We're going to take you to Jesus." Say, I can't think of any better friends in the world than that, can you? You know, what kind of a friend are you to your friends, huh? Are you the kind that just talks about the weather and the ball game and what you're going to do this weekend and what's home in the icebox? Or do you talk to them about something really important and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how they can be saved? Well, these friends had something they knew was important. And he said, I'm sure, "Oh, look, fellas, I appreciate your kindness and all, but you know, it's really no use. Why, the crowds, I've heard 'em tell how thick they are." "Yeah, but that's all right. Come on, let's go." And they put him in that bed, and one on every corner, and took him right down the street. They didn't care what other people thought of him. They had something important to do that day. They had a friend to get to Jesus. And then they got to the house where they'd heard he was. And sure enough, it was worse than they even expected. They couldn't even get near the door, let alone getting in. Well, maybe the man on the stretcher said, "Well, fellas, I sure do thank you. It was wonderful of you to try, but I understand. But do you think they gave up that easy? Not on your life." They went around to one window, and there it was packed so you couldn't go through a window. Went to the back door, and it was jammed and crammed like the front one was. No use trying there. "Boys, you better scratch your heads and do some thinking. We got to do this thing. Now how are we going to get him in?" And one of them's eyes went upward. "Ha ha! That's it!" And before you knew it, all four men were up on top of the house, would you believe? Taking the roof off! Oh, no! And the people down below looked up at the ceiling and they thought, "Why, what in the world?" And then when they got the roof hole all fixed, down they went again, and somehow they got that crippled man up on top of the roof. They handed him and pulled him and stretched him. I don't know how they got him up there, but they had taken him that far, and they didn't intend to be quit now. And they got him up on the roof. I suppose some of those religious leaders down below said, "Oh,
The nerve of those men! Making a hole in this lady's roof! Well, and I imagine some other fella said, his bankroll has something to say. I sure hope he has insurance, huh? Well, I don't know what they all thought, but I know that the old bigwigs didn't think very kindly of it, 'cause all the time they were trying to find fault with the Lord Jesus. But when the Lord Jesus looked up and saw what was going on, it nearly thrilled him to pieces, and he stood back and let those men let that man right down through the ceiling directly to the floor in front of Jesus, and there he lay at Jesus' feet. Well, the crowd thought, what will he do now? Huh, we're going to get him now. And so Jesus said, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the old bigwigs in the front row said, who does he think he is, telling this man that his sins can be forgiven? Only God can do that. You're mighty right, and Jesus is God, isn't he? God's only son. And Jesus knew their old wicked hearts, and he looked at them. They never said a word out loud, but he knew what they were thinking. He said, what do you think? Is it easier for me to say your sins be forgiven, or to get up and walk? But he said, so you'll understand. He said, man, take up your bed and walk. You mean tell a crippled man to take up his bed and walk out of there? That's exactly what Jesus said. But don't forget, whenever Jesus gives you a command, he puts behind it the power to fulfill that command. And that man rolled up that bed, threw it over his shoulder, and let me tell you something, he didn't have to go through the hole in the roof to get out. The people stood back and made a way for him to get out the front door. And my people were amazed what wonderful things Jesus has done. But I tell you, there was that man that was happy and thankful that day because his body was made well, yes, but his sins were washed away. Now, if you've never been saved, you're just about the same fix that poor man was. Helpless, he couldn't save himself. He couldn't do anything for himself. It was all up to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is with you. You're a sinner. You've done wrong, and you can't save yourself, and you can't forgive your own sins in any way you try. But Jesus is the Savior. Won't you, while the choir sings, bow your head right there and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and wash your sins away? Trust him today as your Savior.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt saying God bless you until next week at the same time.